Welcome everyone to the conference here this evening. It's a joy to be in the work of God, whatever that may mean. And one of the desires and goals that we have this weekend is that each one of us could leave this place with a vision, with the possibility of a vision of God using me in His kingdom. We're not so much interested in passing on a lot of information, handing a lot of folders or so forth to you. Last mission conference, I took home a stack of information like this, and I laid it on my desk at home, and it kind of filled my desk for a while, and I didn't really want to throw it away, but after a week or two, it just kind of got old. And finally, it went to the trash can. I had good intentions to read it and look through it and study it, but it didn't happen. And so our passion in our heart this week is that not to send you home with a folder full of information, but rather if every single one of us could go home with a vision of the possibility of what God could do with me if I were willing, then that will be a mission accomplished. So often I have found that the homemaker, the businessman, some of us have in times past felt guilty because we feel like we're not really doing what God wants us to do because we're not out there as a missionary across the sea somewhere. And our vision for this weekend is to shatter that illusion and provide truth, God's heart, for the individual who is not an across the seas missionary. To establish the fact that each one of us has a responsibility before God to live and to walk in such a way that you and I can fulfill the calling and the purpose that God has brought us in this life for and has saved us from our sins and brought us out of darkness into His glorious light and made us be partakers of His kingdom and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation through Jesus Christ our Lord, unto whom be the glory forever and ever. Now I'm wondering how many of you can identify with what I'm saying. Maybe you're wondering, what does God have for me? And you kind of feel like you don't have anything really important to do. Or you feel like you're not really spiritual because you're not that missionary. You're not really, maybe that preacher, whatever it may be. Can I see your hands? But what does God have for us? Is it okay to have a job? The Bible says, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. And I believe that if I have given myself to God, dedicated my whole life to Him, then whatsoever He brings to me to do, I can do with all my heart to the glory of God. And that is worship. That can be worship. Turn with me in your Bibles to Nehemiah. I would like to bring the opening message here this evening. We do plan to have a time of worship following the message. What do I mean by that? So if I just said that everything that we say and do should be as worship to God, what I mean by that a time of worship following means we're going to sing and lift up our voices after the message here this evening. Nehemiah chapter 3. My heart and burden tonight is that somehow there could be a work of God in our hearts this weekend, beginning tonight, about the possibility of a vision. And the subtitle tonight is the whole church. Everyone in the church. Every single member. And what if the church? What if the whole church? What if every member in the church would catch a vision of God's heart? Of God's desire. Of God's passion. And of God's plan and purpose for their lives. So often, especially young Christians, they kind of flip-flop around wondering, what can I do for God? Where can I be useful? And they kind of just look around and they tend to look at those who are involved in ministry and they think, oh, if only I could be involved in a ministry like that. I remember as a young man, a young Christian, looking at my brother Denny and brother Mose and brother Aaron in the ministry, and I'm thinking, the ministries are all full. There's no place for me. What could I do? I didn't know God very well yet, but I know God could have a vibrant ministry to each and every one of us available. Each and every one of you here tonight has the possibility of entering into and working in a ministry, God-given ministry, for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God in your life. Do you believe that? Every single one has that possibility. And that's the heartbeat of this conference, is the vision possible. And we desire that every single one leave this place after this weekend with a vision of the possibility that God would have something for me to do. The whole church. But how am I going to get that vision? How can I get a hold of that one? And that's what we've been praying about for many days and weeks and months concerning this mission conference. Chapter 3 of Nehemiah. Verse 1. Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even to the towers of Mia. They sanctified it to the tower of Hananiel. And next unto him built the men of Jericho, and next to them, and on and on and on. And the whole church rose up and began to build. Now there were a few, except for a few who didn't put their necks to the work, it says. But something took place before this verse. Something happened before this verse. Something happened before Eliashib the high priest, who was the leader of his people, rose up and began to build, and his brethren the priest rose up with him, and the other people followed along. Something happened before that. What was it? What happened that the high priest rose up and began to build? I tell you what it was. It was a man. A common, everyday laborer. Who had a vision. And somehow that man conveyed that vision that he had and passed it on, and the whole church, except for a few who didn't put their necks to the work, rose up and began to build. I'd like to take a look at that man and how and what God did and how God wrought through him. Not only giving him a vision, but somehow this man by God's grace, was able to convey that vision to the right people at the right time, which resulted in a phenomenal wall-building project. Something happened. We know the, I hope we do, the setting of this man, Nehemiah, is about 450-some before Christ, years before Christ. Jerusalem, which had been God's, the apple of God's eye, may I say, for many years, had fallen into sin. And God sent the army of the Chaldeans to destroy the city. Following the prophecy of Jeremiah there, that 70 years would come to pass when the people would be displaced there and Jerusalem would lay desolate for 70 years, fulfilling the 490 years when they did not have every seventh year of Sabbath keeping. Sometime before this, Ezra had led some of the captivity back to Jerusalem, and they had built the temple. But the walls were still down, they were still broken down, the gates were still burned with fire, they were still laying in ruins, there was no protection from the enemies. And this is the condition. And this book opens up with Nehemiah hearing the testimony of a man come from Jerusalem, and telling him the story of the conditions of the church. And this so burdened Nehemiah, he began to fast and to pray and to seek God because of the conditions of Jerusalem, which is the church. He prayed. And then one of the first points I have here is the forming of a vision. We see the need. He saw the need. He saw the disrepair of the walls. He saw the situation in his eye. He had envisioned what it looked like there. He heard it firsthand that this is the situation. Desperate situation, deplorable conditions for God's people in a shame for the name of God, because they were in disrepair. This began to form a vision in his heart, resulting in a burden as he remembered what it used to be. He remembered what it was supposed to be, and he began to dream of what it should be and could be. Fasting and prayer. But in the midst of that, there's much more to it. There also needs to be confession of sin and repentance of sin and turning away from those things. He took upon himself the sins of the nation, confessing them, repenting before God, and somehow by God's grace found favor in the sight of God. And God used him mightily. This is what happens. This is how a vision begins to work in the heart of a person. It must begin down deep in the heart. It must begin with a spiritual revival in our own hearts and lives. And as he walked through that, there was a time for when our hearts are in the right condition, then we're in a place where we can make an appeal before God. And Nehemiah made an appeal to God on this, based on God's name and God's glory, on God's fame and on His honor. And he made a beseeching cry to God that God would hear him. In chapter 1, verse 11, look at that. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. Grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer, but I had a job. This is the burden that came upon him. This is what was happening in his heart and life. But I have a job. I am tied down to a daily job. I was the king's cupbearer. What could I do? And so often we think, but what could I do? Lord, you put this burden in my heart. Lord, you're working out this thing. I don't know what to do with it, Lord. I have this job. I'm a working man. Amen? For I was the king's cupbearer. Can God use a man who's tied to his job, who's working for a living? Yes. Really, that's who God wants to use. The everyday person who's willing. Willing to consecrate himself. For I was the king's cupbearer. So often the devil comes along and says, but who are you? You don't amount to anything. You're really no good. Why do you even think of such wonderful things? Don't even dream about that. That's what happens so often, isn't it? How could I make a difference? But as we stand in that place, faithful, diligent, doing that which God has put into our hand, with a burden in our heart for the kingdom of God, and I'm speaking to us today, how could I become useful in the kingdom of God? I have this job I go to. It might be a 7-to-5 job, 5 days a week. And I have to be there. But I've got this burden on my heart. That's the situation here. When we carry a burden in our heart about a specific area, or when we see a need that's not being met and not being filled, that is when God is calling us to fill it. When I recognize that, why is no one doing this? I just don't understand. Why is no one doing this? Whatever it may be. You see something that it feels like it's so plain to you, you're amazed that no one else seems to see it. I would like to suggest that that is God's work for you. And if I am diligent in that which God has given me to do, and if I have a burden, then I'm going to be watching for opportunity. And when that door opens, I am going to be ready to walk through it. That's what Nehemiah did. One day he's brought up before the king there. And the king begins to ask him some personal questions. And Nehemiah realized that this is an opportunity. And that's where you and I can step out in faith. When we carry a burden, we will be sensitive to the opening of that door. When we carry a burden, we will recognize when God begins to work in that area. We will actually be waiting for that door to open. Yet we continue in faithfulness and diligence in that everyday job. Which is worship, isn't it? As unto the Lord. Carrying our responsibility, not shirking our duties. But then when that door opens, Nehemiah, he dared to ask God. And he asked God for some pretty big things. Did you ever do that? Did you ever ask God? Look at what Nehemiah asked for. Verse 5. The king had asked in verse 4, and he said in verse 5, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. He asked to be sent. He was willing to be sent. And he made his request, said, please send me to this place. Moreover, so often we have not because we ask not. Really, I do believe that. I said to the king, verse 7, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Wow, I like that. We have just recently, as a family, having been required to find a place to live, we made a list of the things that we wanted for the place that God would give to us. And we asked very, very specific things. And God has been pleased to give them to us according to what we have asked. Not just meeting that which we ask for, but He has given it abundantly. For instance, my wife, she has longed already for a guest quarters to put guests in. We love to have guests in our house. So she requested that there be guest quarters at this place that we'd move to. Well, guess what? There's two apartments, two guest quarters with this place. I wanted high ceilings in some barn that we could stack our roofing stuff at least 21 feet high. And I said, I wrote down, I want ceilings 21 to 24 feet high. Well, I believe there are ceilings there that are 40 feet high. Daring to ask God for specifics. Nehemiah asked for specifics, and it was given to him. He made his request. He asked for great things. Don't think you're going to receive if you want to consume it upon your own lust, though. He asked for the provisions that he needed. He asked for the authority for the letters that were needed. He asked to be sent, and he also asked for captains and horsemen. And the king gave it to him. Everything he asked for was given to him. He dared to ask. Do you dare to ask in a time like that to take a step of faith and make your request specific unto your Lord Jesus Christ, unto God your Father, who sees all things, who knows all things, who knows what's good for you? You know what it says in John? He said, ask in my name, and you shall receive that your joy may be full. And so part of the purpose for receiving is so that our joy would be full. So, because when we ask things of God, and He gives them very specifically, it does bring great joy. Because we know that God Himself has heard my request, and God Himself has answered, and He has answered very specifically. And that simply means God is listening to me, and that brings such joy. That's Jesus said, ask, and you shall receive that your joy may be full. He wants us to have fullness of joy. Now Nehemiah began to travel, and he came to Jerusalem. Now what would you do if some strange man showed up at your church on a Sunday morning? He came and he would tell you, this man would somehow have a vision for your church. How would he convey his vision, his burden to your church, your whole church, in such a way that your church would instantly rise up and begin to do it? How many of you pastors here? Let me see your hands. Are you, how many of you pastors are here? Raise your hands. Okay, there's quite a few of you. How would you feel? What's your first reaction? You've never met this guy before? Yeah, he's a Christian. He's a Jew. He shows up there in Jerusalem. He has a vision. He wants to convey that vision to the people of Jerusalem. And somehow he's got to get that vision across to them in a way that they won't reject it. In a way that they'll receive it and move on with it. And that's one of the challenges of a pastor. How could I, as a pastor, present a vision to my people, to my church, in such a way that they would get a hold of it and actually rise up and do it? Now, that's my heart. That's my burden. And I don't exactly know how it's going to happen, but my prayer is that God would somehow use this weekend to convey to your heart a vision of what God wants you to do in His kingdom. A lifetime work for His kingdom. Let's see how Nehemiah could convey that vision. Verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. How am I going to convey this burden that I have, this vision that God has put upon my heart? How am I going to get this across so that they can pick it up? I rose in the night, I and some few men with me. Now notice this. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode on. I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem. Viewing, studying the situation, seeing the need, recognizing the disrepair, the broken down walls, the burned gates, no protection there anymore. The walls that were broken down, the gates were burned with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. I believe it was inside the walls of the city there, was trying to find its way around the walls and was viewing these walls. It could go no further. There was so much debris there. Then I went up in the night by the brook. I think he went outside the walls. Went out there to the Kidron Brook, and there he could see the walls up there. And viewed the walls. He went out by the brook, and there he again stood and he looked at these walls. He was sizing the job up. He had a burden. He had a vision. How is he going to do it? And how? The greater question is, how am I going to get the church involved? How am I going to get these leaders to pick it up? And turned back and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. He had not yet told them. What was he doing? He was waiting for the right time. He was waiting for the right opportunity. He was waiting for that specific moment when he could share it with them in such a way that they could receive it. Then I said unto them. Now look at what he does. He could have begun to blame them. He could have begun to say to them, he could have begun to say, you guys, why don't you do it? Why don't you rise up and build these walls? He could have said, you lazy good-for-nothings. Do you think they would have followed him? What did he do? Look at how he Look at how he conveyed the vision. He talked about the situation. This is the situation. He didn't blame them. Then said I to them, you see the distress that we are in. We? He put himself right with them. I'm one of you. How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. He's reminding them of the current situation. He's reminding them of the distressful situation. He's reminding them of what is really a shame and disgrace to them and to their God. And he's using that to stir them to action. Come, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken to me. And they said, now look what he did. He showed them the need around them. He showed them the difficulty they were in. He reminded them of the situation. And he said, come, let us build. But he did more than that. He then shared the testimony of how God had ministered to him, how what God had said and what God had done. And he told the testimony and the story, I believe, of what he's there for. And when they heard what God had done, when they heard how God had led him, when they heard about those letters that were given, when they heard about the king giving the right authority, when they heard about the provisions of the forest, the trees of the forest, when they heard those things, do you know what they did? Do you see what was happening in their hearts? Something began to rise up. And they said, let us rise up and build. Somehow he conveyed his vision, his burden, in such a manner, such a way, that they, when they heard about it, when he laid it out before them in a timely way, carefully, wisely, purposefully, clearly, with a personal testimony of what God was doing. Oh. They recognized the timing and they said, let us rise up and build. And they strengthened their hands for this good work. Now, what is the church's job? What are we called to do? What is the purpose for God allowing us to stay here on this earth after we're saved? One of them is so that we become an instrument in His hand to preach the gospel, to take this glorious gospel to the whole world. That's one of His purposes for us here. And that purpose includes you and I. Every single one of us. But am I going to be able to fulfill my calling if I'm not confident that the work that I'm doing in everyday life is well-pleasing to God? Will I be able to find fulfillment if I'm not confident that it's God's will for me to do this job? I believe it is so very important that every single one of us rise up, accept the fact that this is where God has me now. And am I allowed to dream greater dreams and greater visions? Yes, I am. How am I going to go from where I am today to what I see some others doing in some great ministry. Is it okay for me to dream and have visions of ministry? Absolutely. It's possible. And you'll hear more about that as this weekend progresses. We would like to have to utilize numerous ones with a testimony of how God led them into this ministry. Into a ministry that God has provided for them. To where they become useful. To where they are greatly used of God. I believe it is possible for every single one of us to do that. And our heart and burden is that you would believe that there be enough of faith in your heart. As you look at God's Word, as you see how God works, that God could actually use me. Not only could use me. First of all, we believe. Do you believe God wants to use you? Do you believe God wants to use every available vessel? I believe so. Believe it. Receive it. He does want to use every one of us. He does, and He will use us to the extent that I avail myself to His grace. He'll use me. No, I might never be a preacher. No, I might never be a missionary. But if I'm fulfilled in the calling that God has given me today, I will bring glory and honor to Him. That's the passion and the heartbeat of this mission conference. The vision was received. The vision was caught. The work began. Progress was made. Yes, there were enemies. There will be mockers. There will be scorners. There will be scoffers. There will be critics. Do you know what that did to Nehemiah? Did that deter him? Did that discourage him? Did they discourage you? What did Nehemiah do? Let me ask you this. Was Nehemiah some great preacher? Was Nehemiah some great prophet? Was he some great evangelist? Who was he? A what? He was a cupbearer. Faithful. Diligent. Consistent. In his everyday job. With a vision. With a heart. With brokenness. With humility. What's God looking for? Do you mean to tell me that that God would use me like that? Is it possible? Oh, but Nehemiah, and he lived up on that spiritual high plane way, way up there somewhere. No, I don't think so. He walked on the same level ground that I walk on. Every one of those heroes of faith, no, they're not up there on that spiritual platform, way above me, way above the place that I live and walk. No, I have, before God, the same opportunities of a life of faith. Faith-filled, living out, bringing to pass great things for God. That's my opportunity. Same opportunity they had. What am I doing with it? But it's because I lack vision. I really don't believe that God would do it for me. I really don't believe it. that God would do it for me. Notice your hands. Huh? All right? I believe He will. Our prayer is that you would go home from this mission conference with a vision of the possibility what God would do. And if everyone would do that, that's the whole church. The whole church. There's so much more that could be said, but the whole church. And then, when the whole church rises up, the wall will be built. Impossible things will be done. Things that you didn't think could be possible will happen. Dream. Dare to dream big. Dream of things so big that they're doomed to fail unless God supernaturally brings them to pass. Dream of things so big that they're doomed to fail unless God supernaturally brings them to pass. Then Eliashib rose up. The high priest rose up. And his brethren the priests with him. And they builded the sheep gate. Sanctified it. Set up the doors thereof. Even to the tower of Mia they sanctified it. The tower of Hananiel. The high priest. The leader of the people. He received the vision that Nehemiah presented. And that's the challenge for us as leaders. To present a vision in such a way that the people would receive it. That's my prayer. That you could wake up to the fact that God has a calling on your life. Doesn't mean you're going to stop going to work. It means you'll continue going to work. Doing that which isn't before you. If you want to become useful for God, do that which is in front of you today. God will begin to use you. Do not despise small beginnings. Let's pray. Father in heaven, oh God, hear our cry tonight. Visit your people. Let your heart and your vision, your burden come upon our hearts as we walk through this Mission Conference 2013. We ask you, Father, visit us, send us a time of refreshing from your presence, O Lord. We realize that without your Spirit, all is vain. And so, Father, send forth your Spirit to work mightily in our hearts so that your name would be exalted, your glory be made known, and yes, to fill the whole earth. The whole earth shall be full of your glory. Make us to be partakers of taking the gospel, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Let the whole church rise up, Father, taking up its responsibility, each one with the gifts that you've given them for this great work of God. For your name's sake, in Jesus Christ, amen.
Well, let's engage ourselves, brothers and sisters. Each one of us, you know, I was just really ministered to and thinking of, you know, if each one of us engages ourselves in our workplace, what really could happen? I mean, God is so desirous to reach the peoples of the earth, including those, write those in our communities, write those in our, the very places that we work. And my heart is that we would, in this conference, see the importance or the blessing of engaging ourselves, of just simply engaging our hearts, rising up and in faith, believing God, that, Lord, You will use me. You will use me in my workplace, in my community. I think, too, sometimes, you know, I think we have the mentality at times that, you know, let's see, it's for the gospel. The gospel that needs to be preached is for the preacher or the evangelist or the missionary. And but Jesus said to His disciples, "Go ye, therefore, into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that," of course, we know that "he that believeth not will be damned." But God's heart is that we, you know, that we're all ambassadors for Christ. That we recognize our calling and election, our calling, and that Christ is calling us to be engaged, to be one of those who is engaged. And I just like the little clip, video clip here of work being worship. And I think it'd be a blessing if we could have a time of worship here this evening, just consecrating ourselves to the Lord. Consecrating ourselves in our worship, yes, in our words and in our song and in song, but then in our hearts we are consecrating ourselves to the Lord. Set apart for His glory and use. Set apart for His kingdom to be used as an instrument in His hands. Can we do that this evening? Just lift our hearts in worship to the Lord in that way. I believe that is a worship that will be well-pleasing to the Lord as we offer up ourselves to Him.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.